Welcome back to Eco Talk, and I'm thrilled to have with me in studio a surfer guy, but he's not your average surfer dude. No, he is an attorney, an activist, an environmentalist, and has been in one form or another since he was a small boy. We're going to hear his story and hear what he's taking on, has been and continuing to do, to help protect coastline along California and maybe elsewhere. Certainly, we have a beautiful one worth protecting. I'm going to be introducing momentarily Mark Massara. He is the director of Sierra Club's California Coastal Programs, and he's come to my attention a couple of different ways, and I kept getting fed stories and articles, and sometimes there's not enough information about a guest. This time there was so much I couldn't even get through it all, but everything I read was very impressive. So thanks for joining us, Mark.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I just want to describe to our audience, you look like a typical surfer guy, handsome, big guy, blue eyes, tan skin, nice tan, not too much sun, long, blonde, wavy hair. You don't look like the typical, you know, activist, although some of us, you know, do have long hair. And you don't look like the typical attorney with a suit and tie. But when you go fight cases and you have fought some of the biggest ones, do you dress the part of an attorney? And does your looks in any way perhaps make people have lower expectations for your might?
It comes in handy for sure. We're often underestimated, and people don't expect that we will be so effective in protecting coastal resources in the California economy.
Now, you were an attorney for Surfriders Foundation, a group that I found out about years ago and love because it's such a simple concept. Who more than surfers know, you know, intimately, you know, what happens at the beach from, you know, the coastline on land to the ocean and what's floating around as you're surfing? And I understand a lot of, I guess all surfers that are part of Surfriders are concerned about environmental issues.
I had the good fortune of being in on the ground floor with a group of surfers who formed the nonprofit Surfrider Foundation, an eclectic, quixotic organization dedicated to protecting beaches and waves. And we began very aggressively in about 1988 undertaking litigation and activist battles on behalf of California beaches, and Surfrider Foundation has now spread to international size and has near 50,000 members and chapters all over the world.
Let's go back a bit. You were 7 years old when you had your first eco-epiphany.
Well, it's true. I grew up in Santa Barbara, California, and was a small boy at the time of the giant Unocal oil spill that fouled beaches throughout Santa Barbara County and participated in cleanup efforts such as they were, tossing hay on oil, rescuing oiled birds and wildlife, and in general achieving a certain animosity and drive against corporate America and pollution that serves me well to this day.
Is that why you became an attorney?
There's no doubt about it that right from the very get-go with the sort of birth of environmental law in the United States, that the best, most effective way to challenge this sort of corporate crime and pollution was to become a lawyer.
And I understand that you have gotten more surfers involved in actually going to City Hall and fighting some of these battles that are threatening our coastline.
Well, almost immediately when I was counsel for Surfrider Foundation, we stumbled onto a case in Northern California in a little town in Humboldt County where two international pulp mills were discharging 50 million gallons of black effluent daily into the Pacific Ocean. And there were about 50 surfers up there in Northern California, and they were being subject to this pollution. And so we initiated a case in San Francisco Federal District Court that ultimately became the largest water pollution case ever prosecuted in the United States under the Clean Water Act, involving over 40,000 violations of the Clean Water Act, and we're successful. And right from that time on, we realized that when local communities come together over these issues and literally fight for a clean environment, we can often prevail.
Tell us about another big case you were involved in fighting a big development at Pebble Beach in California, Monterey County.
Well, this is going on right now, and my work as directing Sierra Club's coastal programs is intimately involved in a case where Clint Eastwood and Peter Ubroth and Arnold Palmer and the Pebble Beach Company are proposing to cut down 18,000 Monterey pine trees for a new golf course and 34 mansions and 200 new hotel rooms. And what this will do is literally liquidate the last remaining endemic native Monterey pine forests, the wetlands and the habitat, 24 endangered plants and animals that live in those pine forests in Pebble Beach and Monterey, which are world famous for these forests. There are already 9 golf courses in this forest, and what we don't have any longer after a century of chopping these trees down is very many Monterey pine trees left. So the final vote in front of the California Coastal Commission regarding this project is set for June 14th in Santa Rosa, California. And right now, Sierra Club is working with activists throughout the state of California, and we expect over 500 people to turn out to that meeting. And it's necessary because otherwise the celebrity factor and the influence of the Pebble Beach Company will come into play, and they could quite likely win approval for an otherwise unacceptable, illegal project.
So you don't think 18 holes in Pebble Beach are more valuable than 18,000 trees?
Not at this point, perhaps 150 years ago. But at this point, we really need to protect what little wildlife remains along the coast of California.
And Clint Eastwood, the actor and big landowner in the Carmel and Monterey Valley areas, is seen as an environmentalist in that part, I understand. How do you view him environmentally?
Well, it's true. He participates. He's a member of the California Parks Commission. And he falls into a category that many developers and speculators fall into, and that is that they tend to support environmental protection except when it involves their own property and development proposals. Now, Clint Eastwood has for decades played a hero in the movies. What we're hoping is that he can become a hero to the Monterey pine trees and abandon this foolish plan.
Is there any sign that he's willing to move at all?
Well, yes. There was a hearing.
Because he's concerned about his image, and if this gets enough attention and is seen as a negative impact on the environment, I would imagine he has to be somewhat, you know, influenced by that.
Well, what's giving him pause and what occurred at a hearing in March in Monterey in front of the California Coastal Commission was their staff recommending that this project be denied and the coastal commissioners agreeing with their staff. So should the Pebble Beach Company show up in Santa Rosa in June with this same old unacceptable proposal, it's very likely to be denied.
And how can this case be precedent-setting? You know, most of our listeners don't live in that area, won't be directly affected either way. But why is this kind of development that up until recently generally has been seen by American culture as, you know, good, pro-growth, pro-business, pro-golf courses, America's crazy about golf, why do we need to change the way we view these kinds of projects, at least in many cases?
Well, what's happening in part due to the fact that we've destroyed so much of our coastal habitat and wetlands over the last 100 years is that there is a blossoming respect and appreciation for the economic value of these remaining wildlife resources. And, for example, the California Resources Agency just published a study last year that shows that California's resources in the coastal zone are the underlying bedrock foundation of our $1 trillion annual coastal economy, which provides beach access for hundreds of millions of people and jobs for millions of people. And those resources are the goose that lays the golden eggs. California's coastline is the world's most expensive, most sought after, most fought over dirt. And for those resources to be protected means that our California coastal economy will be protected for future generations.
There's a liquefied natural gas project that you're working on. What's your position on that?
Liquefied natural gas is simply supercooled natural gas. And right now, there's a push by the Bush administration and supported by California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to develop LNG terminals offshore and along the coast in California. Now, these LNG terminals are, in our opinion, the very definition of homeland insecurity. In fact, there's never been a needs analysis done for the state of California, nor has there been any analysis regarding where, if we need an LNG plant, where it should be sited. Instead, various companies, international consortiums, are simply drawing circles on the map and saying, we'd like to put our LNG terminal right here. The reality is that residential use of natural gas is falling in California and is expected to continue to fall over the next decade. What that means is that simple conservation measures such as double-paned windows and insulation, things that should be occurring in every home, and there are millions of old homes in California that have not been upgraded and retrofitted, need to occur before any talk of developing further dependence on finite, fossil, toxic, polluting fuels.
Hear, hear. And not to mention all the lights and computers and stereos that are on all day and all night across America. We just haven't taken on conservation in anything close to what we could do. And that's really the bottom line.
It's just outrageous.
Until we do.
That we would embrace this technology that is so dangerous and is so unnecessary, and bind ourselves to foreign corporations who are going to construct basically floating cities offshore of Southern California that will, in essence, be in perpetuity, polluting our coastal resources and furthering our dependence on these finite fossil fuels.
And what about transporting liquefied natural gas? If there was a tanker explosion, you say here, it could be as dangerous and impactful as a nuclear explosion?
Well, that's what some scientists have argued, that an explosion of an LNG tanker or a terminal would have the similar impacts to a small nuclear device. The latest analysis shows that the terminal proposed by the Australian company BHP for 14 miles off of Malibu, that's currently being reviewed by the State Lands Commission here in California, if there was to be an explosion there, it would actually cover 16 miles.
Wow. We're just about out of time, but I'm happy to say you'll be back for the next segment because some guests just require more than one. So we're talking with Mark Massera. He is an attorney with the Sierra Club and was an attorney for Surf Riders Foundation, talking about what's happening along our coastline that you should know about, even if you don't live in California. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages.